WAVBD. Morning, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing fairly well. How are you this morning?
Yeah, literally just jumped in the car. I'm still fidgeting with seatbelts, and the window's not as clear as it should be. But on the way to work, I suppose you're doing the same.
Yeah, just rolled out of the driveway. Although, my windows were totally clear, but I parked it there last night at about 11:45 after bowling.
I don't know what it is about this car, this Escape. The windows frost over, and it doesn't matter. I can put the negative 20, the negative 40 degrees antifreeze in the windshield washer, and if it's 35 degrees or lower, until that windshield warms up, it flashes over and freezes. I don't know why that is. It seems like I had cars in the past. As long as I bought the crap that's, you know, good to minus 20, I could squirt my windows off and they'd be clear.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I haven't had too big a problem with this pickup truck. I think the wife's car is always frosted over way before this truck frosts over.
I think it has something to do with the angle of the windshield. Windshields that are more vertical tend to be a lot better, but the ones that slope back quite a bit are real prone to frosting up. Like I said, this car here is just a nightmare. And I haven't really noticed if it's in my other Escape, my personal. Could be. I just don't drive that one in the wee hours, early morning, as often as this one.
Yeah, the only time you're out driving these wee hours in the morning is when you're driving to work, so that would make sense. Anyways, I'm getting ready to pull in the driveway of work. That's how short my commute is.
Well, there you go. Good deal. I'm just starting my drive. Got about another 20, 25 minutes to go. Catch you later. W8FU.
Hope you have a good day. 73s. W8BPD. I'm clear.
KE4ZYQ. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just listening as I was getting my breakfast here going and eating a little bit. And I don't have to park outside, not to brag or anything. But I saw something recently on the internet, which I don't think is, I don't know if it's safe or good or what. He says when your windows are frosted over, take a plastic bag that won't leak, put just lukewarm water in it, and then close the plastic bag. And just rub over your windshield very quickly and back and forth, and they'll frost it and kind of get it, you know, clear it up some before you actually get in it and go. I don't know if that's safe or good, but just something I saw. But, yeah, that winter weather and the windshield is not good.
Well, I got to say, I haven't tried that one. I've tried a lot of things, but I have a spray bottle of some stuff. And I've used that. You wouldn't think that'd be any different than the windshield wiper fluid. Oh, but I think it was the formula I was using is had ammonia or something. I don't remember anyhow. But I'll have to try that. That's not. It's a little bit of a dealy for when I'm in a hurry to go to work to prepare, so, but Who knows? Might give it a try sometime.
And John, too, I saw one time, a long time ago, some sort of a, I don't know if you call it a blanket or something that's not real lightweight, but it's not super heavy, but you put it over your windshield, and then in the morning you just take it off. It seems to keep most of the frost and moisture and snow off it, off the windshield, that is. I don't know who that was on their way to work and made it, but it's a shame he wasn't far enough to get the car warmed up probably by the time he got there. Far enough to drive, but too short to get warmed up by the time you get in your car if it's been outside. Not good.
I remember when I was a technician, we didn't have vehicles assigned to us per se. And for a hot minute, they got all, you know, well, if you're going to drive that to and from, you got to pay, you know, taxes and this, that, and the other. And we're like, fine, I won't drive it, you know. Whoop. And probably still a good deal, but whatever. For whatever reason, we said, fine, we won't drive them. They said, but we still want them, you know, distributed all over so that, you know, when somebody needs to, you know, go on a run, they're never more than a couple miles from a vehicle. So, you know, we want one service vehicle up in the northwest part of the, you know, county, and one up in the northeast and southeast, southwest. So you're saying I've got to transport it to and from those areas, but I got to pay the tax. It was silly. But for a while, so what we did was we decided to park them at the nearest fire station. And, you know, it was only a half mile from my house, you know, but I parked it there, and I said, fine, you know, that'll be the official place we'll park it. Because, but where I'm going with the story is, you know, you get up on a cold winter day where you have to scrape and, you know, remove snow. You'd have to get in a cold vehicle, you know, you do all that, and then you drive a half mile up to the fire station and start all over again. It's like, oh, I hated that.
QSL at KE4ZYQ. That's why when I bought my condo, when I came back to Michigan to live after losing my wife, came back to Michigan, I says, I got to have a place to live, but it's got to have a garage. I don't want a carport. I don't want to park outside all the time, especially in Michigan. And I got a car, garage, and I thought, oh, God, that's great. I mean, I'd take half the size of a house just to have a garage for not only storage, but your car. That is a blessing, especially in storms and hail and whatever, let alone winter. Back to you.
Yeah, I've had a garage the entire, you know, entire time I've been here. This place, big one, too. And, but it's detached, and I got dogs, and so there's a fence, so it was always, you'd have to open the fence, make sure the dogs weren't out, open the fence, drive into the yard, then open the garage, drive in, and, you know, and then storage and projects and things like that things tend to take up the garage. And I tell you, what's it been, 40 years? The 40 years I've been in that place, I've probably parked in the garage, oh, maybe a year total. just for one reason or another. But I get it. It's absolutely the way to do it. I'm doing a new garage now, and I'm gonna do it up for. I'm gonna keep it heated, and, you know, not hot, but you know, never let it get below freezing. Now, I may change that. I may start using it for the very same reason, but it's nice to have an attached garage, you know, because now you can walk comfortably out to your nice, clean, you know, not freezing cold car, and so having an attached garage is really nice. I'll never have that.
Tell a quick story. Before I got married, moved to Tennessee with my wife from here. I lived in a townhouse off of Harper in St. Clair Shores. No garage, no carport. Had to park out in the parking lot and walk, geez, I don't know, 15, 20 feet at least to the car. I would have to, in the wintertime in Michigan here, I'd have to take a warm towel to put on my seat because the seat was so frozen, you know, being out in the wintertime, really cold weather, that I could not sit on that seat. I did not want to sit under my seat. And I didn't have a remote starter or none of that stuff, so put that on the seat and warm up the car and get the snow and ice off the windshield, windows and all. I hated that. That was crazy.
Oh, yeah. This car doesn't have remote start. It's a pain. But my personal vehicle does, so that avoids a lot of the issues. Keeps the windows warmed and cleaned, and I got the heated seats and all that stuff, so that does work pretty good. Problem is, I always forget. I'll be someplace, and I don't remember to start the car, and then I go out there and I get in a damn cold car, and I'm thinking, I could have started it. What the heck?
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, what happened to the Mount Clements repeater on the link there the other day or a few days ago when it just dropped out? Did you figure out, or what happened to it?
It's a mystery. It just stopped. So Fred signed into it and issued a reboot to the All-Star controller, and it came back. So who knows? Did that one other time several years ago. Not even several years, but a while ago it did it as well. So that's twice. Not frequent enough to be a problem, but just does it. I don't know why.
Well, to show how awake I am right now, that's the one I'm on right now. So I don't know. Is the possibility somebody actually just turned it off remotely, or is that something that didn't happen?
Nope. Just happened. No explanation for it. It's like when your computer, has to be rebooted or any number of things. It just happens. There's no explanation for it. I got a real problem with the Detroit GMRS repeater. It does it frequently. And got to get down and work on that one. Can't figure out what, but frequently that one just disappears. Don't know why. Usually somebody texts me and says, hey, it's down. And I just go in and reboot it, and it comes right back online. Sometimes for days, sometimes for hours. You never know. It's like roulette.
Okay, E4ZYQ. Well, not to get into it deeply, but is there a remote chance, no pun intended, that some of those have been, computer attacked? Somebody could purposely try to get into it to disable some of these repeaters around town or so that could be maliciously attacked somehow? You know what I mean?
No, it's just a thing. It's just, electronics. Electronics do that. And there's something wrong, We'd have to go troubleshoot it. I don't know, so I don't want to begin to guess, but it's nothing. No one's doing it. It's just, the equipment is just glitching. That's all it is. Why it's doing it, I don't know.
I know one thing that happened to me last year, briefly one time, is my 72, my Yaesu 7250 radio, the mobile I use here in the house when I had it working a year or so ago, and I still got it now, but it got corrupted or messed up, and I didn't have any feeling of outside interference. It was, eventually they said, well, sometimes that radio can get corrupted electronically by static electricity. You could walk in the room, generate static electricity, touch the radio to use it, and it could corrupt the electronics of it. So I reprogrammed it. Don't touch it when I go to sit down. I haven't had a problem since.
Well, that's kind of crazy. Radio shouldn't dump its memories static discharge. But, yeah, well. Yep, electronics do that. It's, you know, I've been doing this stuff for a very long time, and sometimes it just happens. You know, mostly, if it happens in my professional, we swap something out or fix it or whatever, so I can't afford to have that happening. But in the amateur stuff, it's more about access and having the time and all that stuff. The UMP machine is not mine to log in and work with, so... It's just not bad enough to worry about. The one downtown is the GMRS repeater, but the owner of that one is, the site is completely off limits and to all but the owner and a few others, and they just simply don't have time, or do they care, so it is what it is. I have the ability to go in and bump the thing whenever it gets silly. But that's about all we can do. I thought about writing a cron job that would, once a day or twice a day or whatever, just reboot. And that way, if it ever happens and nobody gets a hold of me or something like that, it minimizes the downtime. But again, you need a round to it. I'm fresh out.
KE4 is GYQ. Well, like you said, sometimes some radios, you know more about it than me, but some radios, when you shut them down, turn them off completely, reboot them up, they kind of realign or reset everything back to factory specs, or not factory specs, but back to where it was, and realigns everything somehow.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say realign, because alignment is something that... But, they just get boogered up, it's something logic related. Or could be sending the power splicing crowbars or something like that. Who knows? I hate troubleshooting things verbally over the air because I'm blind. I'm not in there, And so it's just all wild speculation and all that. So I really can't stand trying to troubleshoot something like this, because I don't know, you don't know, no one knows, so we're just spinning our wheels and sounding silly.
So, Sean, you get a 3-4-day weekend come the holiday coming, or is that something everybody's different on? Do you get to have a 4-day weekend?
Yes, I do. So we'll have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then off Thursday, Friday. And I got about 9 days I got to burn here between now and the end of the year. So I've been looking at the calendar and trying to maximize my time off here.
Just so that, KE4ZYQ. Yeah, another ham I talked to on a group going to work a few days ago. Had some days to burn. Use them or lose them, as they call it. So they're going to have a 4-day weekend maybe for the Thanksgiving and take most of December off around Christmas. So that's not bad. Get the holidays and the cold weather and the family get-togethers or whatever. Got to use them. Don't want to lose them.
Hold on. I'm at Tim Hortons. I got to deal with getting my stuff. I'll be back. Okay, got my coffee. I've been trying to be a good boy about eating, so I didn't get any don-dones or bagels or nothing. And on the final mile.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, us retirees that need our Social Security, we're glad for those that are still working, putting money in. So those that are retired are able to survive. Of course, we put into our own accounts and stuff, but, hey, you never know where the actual money goes, but I won't go into that part. But anyhow, yeah, we're changing seasons. We're going to get to 50 degrees this week still. So I got some things I might want to do before it gets real cold, get it out of the way and be set for the winter time.
Oh my God, Grossbeck is just a mess to get out onto. Come on, come on, let's go. There we go. Yep, I've got, I'm looking forward to those couple of warmer days. I got one antenna project left to do. I got all my winterization and all my winterized, put all my lawn and garden stuff for the summer in the back part of the storage and moved all the, got my tractor ready, put the snowblade on, got the snowblower running, moved all that out to the front, you know, and mulched up the leaves, and I did a whole bunch of odds and ends, and I got my long wire, my HF antenna dialed in, so that's working really nice, and I put in quite a bit of time on my second VHF-UHF antenna, the one I use for like the 2 meter sideband net, and, hooked up to my 9700 usually, and it's been down for a while, quite a while, and I spent quite a bit of time the other day, I think Sunday, trying to get that up and running, and something's going on. It's not the coax, and I got two antennas, so I can't believe it's both antennas, so maybe something in the connectors, I don't know. I've checked them, I put dummy loads on the end and swept them from the inside, so it doesn't seem like it's that, but something's got me bamboozled. So I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for the next, little warm stretch there, and I'm gonna get up there and figure it out.
Yep. Well, QSO, that's a very safe operation. Hopefully, not too strenuous or dangerous. But I have a real quick question, and that is somebody that doesn't have an outside antenna. Me. What do people like yourself, what do you do to weatherize or prevent moisture and problems with the connectors for the antennas that are up on the roofs and stuff or towers? What does one do? I don't know, to be honest. You don't have to go into great detail, but what does one do to weatherize them, secure the PL connectors or whatever so moisture and everything doesn't bother it, mess it up?
Well, the antennas generally have a protective sleeve that you slide that over the coax, and then you go ahead and you connect everything up. And then you tape it really good, and there's special tape. A lot of people just use electrical tape, but there's special coax seal that we typically use. And so you put that on the connector, you wrap it, real good, and then you slide the protective sleeve up over, secure that to the base of the antenna, and then that's it. And, the cool part is the, I've had antennas up for 40 years, and 30 years anyhow, and work just fine. So, it's enough.
Well, that's good to know because, if this, not to get into the voting on HOA's restrictions and trying to eliminate some of that for us people in HOAs, if I ever was able to put up something on even a mast, outside the house, next to the house by a patio, put a pole up that is high enough to go above the roof and put a beam up there somehow. I'd have to know that stuff and put up the best possible connections. And yeah, that tape or that sleeve and that tape sounds pretty good. So as long as it keeps the moisture and any interference out of the connectors. But yeah, 30 years, that's pretty good. I don't know if everybody can say that, but you must have done a good job. K4ZYQ, still working on the Mount Clements one? Yep, you must be working traffic there or something. KE4 ZYQ, did you destinate there, Sean? 94ZYQ, clear, but listen.
You still here, Joe?
Yep, KE4ZYQ, I switched over to the Romeo. I can go back to Mount Clements. I just didn't know what happened. You must have had destination or traffic issues back there.
No, I've been having trouble with construction workers parking in our parking lot, and I pulled up, and there was one walking away from his truck that he left in our parking area, so I had to jump quickly and go shag him and let him know that he's not allowed to park in the certain areas. They're all clearly marked. I don't know why, but it's like every day I got to fight with them. So most of the time they're parked and gone before I get there, but I got here early enough today to grab this one, but I had to jump. Anyhow, I have arrived. I'm at the shop, so I'm going to clear out of here and start getting set up for the day. After yours, W8FU.
Hey, Sean. Well, thanks for the ride along. Hope you have a good day at work, sincerely. Safe travels home, and always good hearing, talking, at least listening to you guys and yourself. Thanks for any info or conversation. Started my day off, too. KE4ZYQ, going to be clear. Good morning, young man. KE4ZYQ.
Morning, Joe, on this chilly November morning.
Oh, not to rub it in, but over here it's about 74, 75. Oh, you're talking about outside. Okay.
That's too hot in the house for me. I keep mine about 67.
You're a young whippersnapper. When you get to be old, you got to have a little outside external heat to make up for the internal combustion.
Yeah, I know. My mother-in-law's the same way. We go over to her house and visit, and it's like 72. It's like, whew. I mean, it's hot in there. You know, so I got to turn it down while we're there and, like, put on a sweater or something. Of course, she's 82 years old, so.
Yeah, well, the trick, too, is having the right humidity level, too. If you have dryness, it's going to feel a lot hotter, but if you have the right humidity, that keeps things, you know, not too dry. Now, the heat is different, and your sinuses and all are better. But if you got dry sinuses, you probably don't have much humidity in the house.
Or when you go and touch the light switch, it gets zapped.
You just reminded me when I was young living in my parents' house, we had radiator heat. But when it was wintertime, even with that, it got so staticky in the house that my little brother didn't want me around him because I showed him one time when I walked with socks on in the carpeted floor. I went and touched his nose, and you could see the spark that went between his nose and my finger. He wouldn't want to come around me during the wintertime, but he said, Ma, he's the spark in my nose.
Yep, I used to do that too. To my younger sister, my younger brother, go across the shag carpeting, and then walk up and then hit him in the neck.
That spark would be just like electrical spark. It was amazing, you know, like an AC spark or something. Just unreal how much you could see, little feel, and hear. You could hear that thing go smack.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay, E4ZYQ, well, you got a few minutes to drive to the work QTH?
Yeah, I have an appointment at 9 o'clock in Southfield, and then I got two other sites I got to take care of. So I got to do the walkthrough first at 9 o'clock with a sales rep and an estimator. And then after that, go take care of a door that's not locking properly again. And then after that, I got to go to a site where they had a scheduled power outage and check all my equipment, make sure nothing blew up. KKKQ.
Oh, I wish wish you good outcomes on all those endeavors for the day, total day. And hopefully they'll all be positive and not too much headache or problem. But yeah, such is the nature of work, depending on what type of work people do. You never can know. And sometimes it's not the work itself, it's the people that you have to deal with that make the work more difficult. But I think I won't put you through talking about it on air, but I think you know what I mean.
Oh, 100% understand that and agree. But the individuals that I work with, we are like one big family.
Well, you'll have to forgive me over here. And the name's Joe Juliet Oscar Echo. I think you know maybe. But you have to forgive me. I look at the comical side of life sometimes, not to make fun of anything or anybody, but when you said everybody's a big family, I'm thinking, oh, as long as that's not a dysfunctional family. There's usually two major kinds. So hopefully the good family. Back to you.
Oh, me and my one coworker, we've worked side by side for almost 30 years, and we're more or less the comical duo in the office. You know, we have a lot of tenure. And, yeah, I get, you know, I am not, you know, the perfect employee, I guess you can say. I do rock the boat. I'm like the Dale Earnhardt of our office. You know, if I don't like something, I'm going to voice my opinion. And sometimes they don't like what I voice. And, but usually I'll settle down and conform to it, but I just have to say my piece. I just did that a couple weeks ago. And the area manager's like, you know, you're an influencer. I'm like, no. She goes, yeah, you know, when you show negativity, your coworkers see your negativity, and then they don't want to go through with it because you've been here for so long. When you show a positive attitude towards the, you know, these things, then they follow your lead. I'm like, oh, all right.
Okay, unfortunately, like you, I had an incident when I worked down south when I lived in Tennessee for a while from here, though. And at the Trauma Center Hospital, I worked in wound care for a while, a portion of my career, physical therapy. And they had a patient that was getting wound care because his foot, I think it was an electrician or something, the electricity went through him, through his body and out his foot. We had to take care of it wound care-wise. And he was an unusual character that wasn't always, how would I say, clean mouthed, and he'd tell dirty jokes to some of the employees when they were working on him. And he didn't do it to be mean, but he just was an unusual character. And let me reset. KE4ZYQ. Well, everybody had him for a while, especially the women, and they asked me to take care of him for part of his care. And when I got him, he did the same to me a little bit, which I just ignored it and then changed the subject and talked about his care and wound. And eventually I went to see him a second or third time there, having him for the duration. And he said, when I went to go get him, he says, I called your boss. I said, oh, really? Is there a problem or anything I can talk about with you? He says, no, I told him you're a good guy and you should get some sort of benefit for going out of your way, being nice and getting me relaxed so I don't have to worry about my foot as much and just get it healed. So the boss gave me meal tickets for like three days or 4 days or something from the lunchroom so I could get lunch free for 4 days. And it was a guy, he ended up being a good guy and getting healed, but that was just unusual. Workplace environment. KE4ZYQ, back to you.
Yeah, like I said, our workplace environment isn't very stressful. I mean, sometimes I get stressed out, but I've learned to manage that. Besides that, you know, kind of more comfortable now with the new boss. He's pretty easygoing, and he basically lets me and my one coworker call the shots on what we do for the day. And he doesn't bother us because he knows that what we take care of or what we pull from other people, you know, other techs, is we're going to take care of the issue, you know, regardless of how long it takes, and we stick to it. So he just lets us do our thing.
Well, as you probably know firsthand, sometimes the bosses or supervisors, they don't know as much or as involved with what's going on with the people below them. And
That's why a good supervisor or manager lets the people do their job as good as they can unless there's an issue. Then you address it. But you don't try to, what does it say? If it's not broke, don't fix it. So if the people are working, doing their job, accomplishing the goals and the jobs they got to do, then all you got to do is just make sure it's a smooth running system.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, my one coworker, he left for a while but didn't like the position that he was in, so he came back into the field. And, you know, the boss got him back last November, so he's been back for about a year. And, you know, we tag team on everything, on all the runs. And he told me, he says, you know, don't always need two techs on, you know, on the job. He says, but the way you guys operate, it just works out. You know, and I can just throw anything at you and you'll pretty much go and tackle it. So, you know, then I remember you telling me in the beginning, you know, when I first started in this position as a manager, that you're just one person that likes to be left alone, allowed, you know, do your job and just be left alone. And I said, yeah, you're right. I said, I don't like to be micromanaged. So you just leave me alone, let me do my job, and you'll get the best performance out of me. So when you start nitpicking me, then it changes.
Yep, you saw that, KD4ZYQ. By the way, your modulated volume is kind of low. I can read you and understand you. No dropouts or a lot of static or noise, but Sean was just in here earlier, and your modulated volume probably is at least half as much as what he was. So. And it's not your signal. Your signal is, I'm getting the repeater, your YouTube repeater, solid, very, I think it's like 50 or 60 overnight.
And that's because I talk with the mic a little bit far away sometimes, because I have a tendency to bark on the radio, so, but that's just my voice.
There you go, you picked up a little better, that was good, that was a little better. Yeah, I just don't want to think I'm going deaf. I turn the TV sound off, you know, where I can't hear it. And when I'm listening to the radio, I look at a signal and compare the two, the signal and the modulation, and think, wow, that's a good signal, even though I'm receiving it through the repeater, not simplex. But it's not a matter of you making a repeater. It's me hearing the modulation, so that was better. Nope, good thing. Just don't want you to have other people wonder, what's wrong? I can't hear you.
Oh, I know. Like I said, I can adjust my volume of my voice, or I can overmod or undermod, you know, because I do, not only do I do analog, but I do digital. And digital, it's a little bit more sharp. And I had to drop my mic gains and all that just to keep me, you know, from, the best word it was described to me is barking. I start out high, and then I go down, but I accentuate a lot of words. I'm an announcer. You know, I've been on the radio like you for a long time, since 1998. But I've also do announcing jobs for horse shows, and sometimes the mic doesn't get out there, so you're too quiet. So I'll bring it up a little bit. So I was trained way back when I was in my teens with law enforcement how to project my voice, and that's still with me to this day. And that's 35 years later.
Yep, I understand that. Yeah, I use my hand mic for this radio for the home here. I have it on a certain angle, and I talk across the front. And it's usually the same way, mostly exactly the same way every time. So if there's a discrepancy or problem, it's probably not the microphone or me, because I try to do the same thing each time. Of course, it's a lot easier sitting at home as in a car when you're driving and all sorts of things. So that's definitely understandable.
Oh, yeah, you got the background noise, you know, the engine noise, you got the traffic. And usually in the morning I'm a little bit quieter. I said, when I'm on DMR, I'm a little bit quieter because of the digital audio. You know, and I usually talk across my mic to a point at an angle. Or, you know, I always hold it a couple inches, you know, from my face. And I don't want to, you know, I don't like turning up mic gains. I'll turn them down, but I won't turn them up to get it out there. I'll speak louder than bring my modulation up that way.
understandable. Forgive me, but I'm still waking up like a lot of people, and I heard your call sign, but I've talked to you many times before, but I can't recall the name.
Tango Oscar Mike, Tom. The call sign's Kilo Charlie 8 Kilo Juliet Oscar, TC Cujo. So if you hear somebody say Cujo, that's me. But, yeah, you're a part of ARP like I am.
So, yeah, Tom, as soon as you said T, I knew it was you. But like I said, I'm not trying to give an excuse, but seriously, I'm still waking up too. Even I talked to Sean earlier and he destinated, but just had my breakfast, checking out the news and weather for the morning, and do a little ride along with whoever was out there, you know, that familiar with, just to give something to do so they stay awake while they're driving. But always good to hear from you. You sound like you're doing good. Hopefully nothing bad going on life-wise.
Well, doing very good. Got my health somewhat under control, doing more steps when I can. Got the whole high blood pressure thing taken care of. Still messing with the tachycardia, but that's a work in progress. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, well, if there wasn't things to do periodically or routinely, we'd be bored, some of us, because, you know, going to work, just doing the same thing, certain small things here and there over and over again, that could become monotonous. So the different projects and things that come up keep us occupied and not bored.
100%. You know, like I said, I've been a ham operator since 1998. And I got it strictly because my friend was coming up from North Carolina, and we were friends out in California, and we both went our separate ways. So he was coming up from down south to visit, so I got my ham ticket before he showed up. And then been on and off the radio here and there, but then within the past year and a half, I've really gotten back into the hobby and expanded my horizons on the airwaves. Got involved with ARPS, which I think is really cool. Got involved with the FBI Network, great group of guys on here, Central Michigan Network, great group of people there, and sometimes I'm on the East Coast Reflector in the morning, you know, when I'm driving, so now that I have all my radios compared to just one, you'll hear me on P25, AMR, UHF, VHF, and I just built and got help with my first All-Star Note. Hopefully there'll be many more to come, but we'll see. I got more toys. I got plans. It's just the greenbacks that have to supply it.
QSL that, KE4ZYQ, like yourself, I started, my wife and I got ours at the same time, a license, when she was around, and we got it back in 1986, down in Tennessee, took the test and passed it, and then when I lost her and came back to Michigan, I let it lapse due to necessity, taking care of major things, important things, getting settled and reestablished, and job and whatever. And I finally got settled enough, I said, you know, I'm going to check with the FCC and see if I can get my license reinstated. And sure enough, my call sign and all, I reactivated, got it all set up and going. Now all I got to do this spring or summer, which I've been working on, but other things have popped up. I want to upgrade to general, so got the book sitting right here minutes away from me, you know, feet away from me. But just other things come up, you know, precedents, you know how that goes.
Oh, absolutely. Same here, you know. There's other priorities that I got to attend to, you know, before I can do, you know, more with radio. I have ideas. I mean, basically do it bit by bit by bit. I was lucky enough that I had a couple bills that I can rub together and materialize a All-Star Note, and it cost way less than I thought it would, and got it working. I got my wife a GMRS mobile for her truck. But it's too cold to troubleshoot the cigarette lighter issue. So that's on a temporary hold.
Okay, 4 is 2 IQ. Well, I've yet to put a radio in the car for a reason I don't drive it as often to Tonkawa. When I'm going someplace, it's short trips and destinations. I have to take care of business, so I'm not much of a long distance or even enough time to talk on it. It'd be good to have for communications or emergency if the cell phone didn't work, but I would wire directly to the battery with a fusion line, obviously, if I had a radio in the car. I wouldn't worry about cigarette lighters, even GMRS. I'd find a way to do a separate but okay fused power source.
Yeah, I heard he took the fuse on it, so it's got to be something else. Who knows? That truck is quirky. But, maybe in the spring I'll do a direct connection to the battery. That's how it is here in my service van, is my Elenco and my Motorola are both wired in behind me, tapped down to the fuse block that goes to my inverter. So I got a 200 amp fuse back there. That's connected to, and then of course, double fuse on the battery and ground for both radios. And I got all the ferro cores all snapped onto the antenna and the power, so there's no engine noise or no buzz. And then my scanner goes into a cigarette lighter port in the P25, because it's just a temporary installation. That just goes to a cigarette lighter port for right now.
Okay, 4ZYQ. Well, Tom, I was talking about what we just talked about for battery and cigarette lighters and all. To me, I think it's unusual or strange in a way to me that by this time you think automotive companies would have a direct battery power source that would come into the cabin just strictly for auxiliary equipment, especially radios for all the ham radio people, GMRS, ham radio, whatever. And it would be really conducive to ones they probably modify for the police vehicles and everything else. They should do that for civilian vehicles, even though it costs a little bit more. And they should have a package and say, well, if you want this kind of a power source to your battery with the inline fuses that you can change easy, it costs this much. And it'd be probably, if it was reasonable, everybody wouldn't mind it if they had a ham radio or GMRS. But I'm surprised you don't have that option by now with all the radios that have been around. Back to you.
Probably because, the cigarette lighter are now the 12-volt power port. They're all fused for 20 amp. So anything that you plug in there, they'll handle the load on it. But, I agree in that aspect. I mean, it's more engineering, more work. But in regards to LEO and EMS vehicles, for all the equipment that they carry, there is a big cable that comes from the battery and goes to a splitter block in the area where all the control heads are at, all the radios and all the strobe systems and the computer systems. They all go through this big, huge power cable that's split off. I've seen the work. It's pretty impressive.
Yep, I can only imagine that, yeah. And it sounds like you got a little bit of a drive each day if this is your routine usual. But the good thing is the weather's not bad. We might hit 50. I was telling Sean, I think a couple of days this week we'll hit one day in particular. I don't know if it's Friday or Saturday, we'll be 50 high. And another day very close to, if not 50, but 49.
And I hope so. I got to move my Blackstone grill, and it's a portable, well, not really portable, but it's a tabletop one, and I got to move that out of the area in the camper that I have it and put that on the dining table so my wife and I can get her collapsible tables in there, for the winter. Since I don't use a camper in the winter, I just put a bunch of stuff in there. And makes it easier because my two sheds in the back are filled to the brim with stuff.
Okay, force you. Okay, well, what you got is what they call life. You accumulate things over lifetimes. Then you get to the end of your life, or not the end, but near the end of your life, and you look back and say, man, where all this stuff come from? I accumulated a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I have stuff up in my son's old realm. I don't know how that got in there. And then I have stuff down in the Michigan basement. You know, all the containers on shelves, my window air conditioners are down there. And then one storage shed is filled with boxes from my storage unit that I got rid of. And the other little shed, which used to be a changing room for a pool that used to be there, that's filled with all the garden supplies.
KJO, KE4ZYQ. You know, I was lucky to find something I knew I had, but I found it quite a while back when I reinstated my license for AM radio. Was Radio Shack box speakers, external box speakers with the mini plugs. I got to tell you, that was one of the best purchases I got, geez, I don't know, back in the 70s, 80s maybe. I bought three box speakers for radios, ham radios, whatever, CB, whatever. And I got those out, plugged it in, the radio I'm working right now, boy, does it reproduce the quality of sound that the ham radio can come through the radio by. It really makes it not only just listenable, but the quality is there. It's not just a speaker. It does good reproduction of the actual sound.
Well, I got like a little, because I remounted my Olinko on the front of my file box here, and the speaker faces towards the front of the vehicle, so sometimes it was hard to hear. So went to the one of the travel stores, you know, for truckers, and then picked up a little $10 mountable speaker, and that's how I have it for this radio now. And so it faces right up at me, and I can hear everybody's conversation.
Well, Tom, that sounds like the same one or similar one that I have here, three of. Got the little bracket on it that's adjustable, and you can mount the bracket, and then it's got the two twistable connectors on each side of the brace or bracket that hooks onto the radio, and you can tilt it and mount it. But these Radio Shack speakers, I think two of them are metal casings, and the other one is a hard plastic, but they both have, all of them have good sound capability. Of course, it depends on the radio, but the radio is putting through the speaker, and man, oh man, it couldn't be any better. I mean, some people I talk to, even in Windsor, from my house over here in Clinton Township, I talked to the guys over there in Windsor, Canada, and that repeater up there that's high and coming through that repeater and coming to me, it sounds like they're in the room. No static, no interruptions, nothing. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes the products you buy that are less costly sometimes perform the best.
KE4ZYQ, you had a little static there, but readable still. Yeah, well, I'm so glad that the radio systems, ham radios like I got that are bought not long ago, had the mini jack out, you know, where you plug in that speaker with the mini jack, and it worked flawlessly. Yeah, we don't need to change it. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I'm glad that they got compatible equipment from years ago still. I miss the old Radio Shacks. You go in there and get anything you needed. And I can't believe they went out of business. Their mistake, I know, here in town, in Sterling Heights or Clinton Township, was they tried to get into cellular phones, so they were dabbling in too many things, and they couldn't compete with the big guys with the cellular phones, so they went out of business.
KCKJ, 100%. They were doing fine until they got into becoming a cell dealer for all three. And my first mobile ham radio was from Radio Shack. And finally that thing burned up. But yeah, totally. After they did the cellular thing, they just started losing market because they were geared towards that and not towards the electronic component that people like yourself and I and others, you know, need it. I needed something for my ham radios, even connectors or anything electronic. I always went to Radio Shack. Now you can't find half the stuff that you need. There was a radio guy in Livonia that after 30, 40 years or something like that, he finally shut his doors. It was called Radio Connection on Cherry Hill and, I think it's Cherry Hill and Newburgh, somewhere over in that area. And he finally shuttered his doors. I could get electronic stuff there, too.
Yep, KD4ZYQ. Well, Tom, I tell you how old I am without telling you. When I bought from Radio Shack is when they used to have the crystal-controlled radio scanners for police when you get to hear the police frequencies and EMTs and all and everything. And I have an old crystal scanner. Then I got the digital scanners. And I bought my first ham radio, I think, at Radio Shack. It was a HTX-202 VHF, 2 meters only. HTX-202, I just, about a year or so ago, I had to replace the memory battery in it because it wouldn't work. And they soldered in the button-type memory battery for the storing the memory. And I went on YouTube and found the guy that showed how to replace it and put a holder in there so you could actually take it in and out easier. And that sucker works like a brand-new radio after that.
You know, I think mine was the HTX-202. It was a 2 meter mobile, programmable. And what happened was it just the final burned out on it. Brought it over to the radio shop and they said, yeah, she's done. I'm like, okay, just chuck it. And then started working off a couple other radios. And probably about a year or so ago, I decided to treat myself. I bought my Aluco. I love it. Then started talking on the FBI network. Met a bunch of other guys, Wally and Sean and Captain Don and Don and all them. And bought a Motorola XPR 4550 for a DMR. And I got my HD DMR that I've had for a couple years. Got that all reflashed and got that programmed. So I got that, I got an open spot at home, and like I said, I got my All-Star note sitting here in the truck, so I can try and mess with it again today.
Well, that HTX-202 was a handheld, not a mobile. It looked like an old-fashioned police big brick wood radio, you know, square. Fairly heavy-duty, not lightweight, and run on batteries. Luckily, I bought the battery... one that you put regular batteries in it because the batteries made to charge for that unit don't work anymore and they don't sell them except for aftermarket or old ones that people may have on eBay. But yeah, when you mentioned some of the people you talked to on this repeater and the link to FBI, I think one person you mentioned you may have known when he was around and it's been quiet ever since was Don, I think W88E, I think it was. Is that the one?
I believe I've heard him on there. Don about Donald, W-E-R-C-Y, Captain Don, W-A-C-P-T, Sean, of course, W-A-F-U, Wally, W-A-P-D, and here Anthony on there, C-C-R-U-Y, or R-U-H, and Dakota's on here all the time, too. So, I just keep meeting people, and the funny thing is, yesterday I was in Midland, at a Tractor Supply, working on their alarm system, and I just happened to have my door open because I was typing something on my phone, and my radio was going off, and this older gentleman pulled up next, was next to me, and he heard it. He goes, "Amateur radio?" I go, "Yeah." And he's a ham, and his wife is a ham, and his son is a ham, all with three corresponding ten letters, so it was pretty cool.
Yep, KU4ZYQ. Well, it's a small world. We ever saw how many hams are out there in our state, let alone anywhere, it would be pretty interesting. There's a lot more hams that don't necessarily get on the radio every day, but are scattered all over the country. So people that are into it a lot, DXing and contesting, know about that more than I do.
Yeah, I'm mostly not here because I'm a tech like yourself, but my DMR I'll get on every so often. When I first got into it, got it really working with my open spot. a couple of days, if not more, over several different countries. So I thought that was pretty cool. When I get time, I'll probably get back into that, but I want to mess with my All-Star Note more and start diving into that and learning it a little bit more. That's my next goal. That and when the weather gets better again, I have a aero antenna so I can get into the satellite bounce with the ISS and give that a crack. KCKJO.
Yep, well, like yourself, I had used to use, when there was a repeater available, used to use C4FM or Wires X and do some long distance talking to people through different connections or nodes. But there's no repeaters now that you can get into easy with C4FM that are at least open to directing somewhere else without changing the repeater without permission. But talk about the ISS, I don't know if you and I may have talked before, forgive me if I repeat myself, but a couple years ago I got through the repeater on the ISS, scheduling it so I knew when they were coming over, and I was able to make, with an attic antenna, make two contacts in New York and one in West Virginia, and I recorded that, so they came back and acknowledged the contact and said their call sign, and you know, I would never have thought I could have talked to the ISS and get contacts like that with an attic antenna. That was nice, and a vertical at that.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I forgot we had satellites up there, and you know, those are other future endeavors I want to accomplish. I said, but I got this handheld Aero UHF/VHF duplexer, and get the frequency, get my radio updated, and just point it towards the sky, and see if I can get something up there. Captain Don, that's what he mainly does, is HF and satellite bounces, and he's talked to the ISS more times than I can count on my fingers and my toes, and I think it's really cool.
Yep, KE4ZIQ. Well, there are some apps out there you may or may not be familiar with. One of them I have is called ISS Spotter, and that way you can actually spot it, and it tells you when it's coming up above the horizon and the pass and everything else. And obviously there's one for NASA. You can link into it, open it up, and find the ISS tracking on that. And then I have another one that's called SkyView that you can go into it and put as a search engine on that particular planet or, you know, ISS, whatever, and it'll show you the path and somewhat the time. But the one I like the best is the ISS Spotter. It's an app made for the ISS. So that's the one I think I used when I was able to get into the repeater when it went over and contact those three different other stations. And the summer, that same summer, I heard the astronaut on the radio, tried to throw my call sign up, and it may have gotten up there, but there's so many people that they have to pick somebody to come back to. And one of the guys in Berkeley, he came back to the guy in Berkeley, I know, and acknowledged his call sign, and they exchanged that, and he got a QSO card for contacting. And you know you're getting them when they tell you your call sign, and welcome to the ISS. That means they acknowledge you. So, man, I would like to do that once before I die. Back to you.
Oh, you have many years ahead of you. You know, that's how I see it. But yeah, that's one of my things on my bucket list for him, is to contact the ISS with the aero antenna. But I got to jump out of here. I got a meeting in 3 minutes virtual. So it's the weekly huddle. Starts at 8 o'clock, and the ATM is going to be on there along with my local manager. So I will chat at you later. I'll be back out in a bit. KEC, KGO 73 on your final, Joe.
Yeah, Tom, no, thanks for the ride-along and the QSO, always good. You ever hear me out talking with somebody on any repeater and there's room in there, jump in. But one thing I'll leave you with, one thought real quick is, you know, if you were to tell people a long time ago, if you had a ham radio at early stage or young age, tell people you talked to somebody in outer space, they would have put you in a padded room. And the difference is time and ability to actually do it. Now you could say you could talk to somebody in outer space and they won't look at you different. So there's time has a big difference. 7-3 for now. I might turn this off. I got some things to do, but 7-3, KE4ZYQ clear. Listening out.
Have a good one, Joe. 7-3, KCKJO. WD8KLL.
KF8DIC.
Well, good morning there, Jack. How you doing? WD8KLL.
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing well. Just getting ready to grab some breakfast here. I was on 10 meters there. A little bit noisy, huh?
A little bit. When the sun came up about 9:06, something like that. Before it was not, but the sun came up, and that's what happened. I don't know what, you know, what that noise about, but I guess there's connection now and that way to the other world.
Yeah, I hear you there. Does it seem like the repeater's hanging a little bit long on the when you unkey?
Is it one repeater?
No, I'm on the Holly repeater, but every time I let loose, it takes a minute to unkey.
No, but you know what? I talked to Belgium, and I talked to Italy, and I talked to a few other countries out there, about 4 of them this morning.
Yeah, I did too. I hit all 3 of those as well. So, yeah, and I stepped on the gas there and pushed out some watts. So that's working out pretty good.
Do you do that on the antenna or the wire?
On that IMAX, the 10-meter vertical, on the 10-meter side.
That's good. Now you kick it out for sure. I would do it on the wire, because I don't know about the wire, but on that 10, the vertical, that 10-meter you got out there, it does a hell of a job. And you also, you know what, you're 26 feet in the air with nothing around.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that antenna. That thing, I think it's rated for 5,000 watts, so there's no problem pushing 600 watts out of it. And same thing with the wire. The wire that I have up is rated for 1,000 watts, so no problems there.
That's good. You kicked it both ways, but I would say on the antenna, I think it's better from the wire. You see that antenna you got out there? It's vertical, so it goes anywhere. The wire, I don't know. The wire is down, you know what I'm saying? It's straight down. So I don't know if my kid hit the ground or doesn't hit the ground. I don't know how that wire works, but that's why I like the vertical, because it's you have a like a 360-degree.
Yeah, they say the vertical is omnidirectional, and that's true. You know, the wire is running somewhat north and south, so I'm getting just about everything over in Europe in that way too. So I don't know if that would change if I took the angle of the wire and moved it east-west. Probably would, but I'm happy with what it's doing right now.
Well, I would leave it the way it is. If you're doing good, stay that way. I don't think you're going to change anything. Roger, KFATIC.
Yeah, it's all good. I had a problem with my my relay cable. It was activating the amplifier without even keying it, so I had to send it back to DX Engineering. They're supposed to have me a new one today, so I've been using a trigger switch, which I already had, so I just used that on the relay, and it's been working out okay. I just got to key the hand mic and the trigger switch at the same time.
Oh, that's good. They're going to send it back to you today. Yeah, that probably is a good idea to do.
Yeah, and then I got everything all grounded. I don't know if I... Oh, yeah, I did send you that picture. I put a ground bar, and I got all my tuner, my radio, the amplifier, everything's grounded now. It's cleaned it all up, too. The signal's a lot cleaner, and I'm real happy with that whole thing. WDAKLO.
Did you put that ground inside the room or in the basement or in the crawl space?
It runs down in through into my basement, and it's attached to the water pipe that goes underground through the cement floor in the basement. That's where the electrical box is grounded as well.
It's a lot of work. It just takes time.
Yeah, it was trial and error, Jack. I didn't have everything grounded originally, and when I was on the radio, Jen was in the kitchen there, and the that emerald little toaster oven, she had that on, and it started throwing sparks out of the emerald.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it's just done right now. You don't have to worry about it. All right, Greg, let me go eat. Go eat a little bit, grab something to eat. We'll talk later. Good talking to you anyhow. KFAGIC.
Yeah, okay, Jack. Yeah, everything's good now. No stray RF, nothing. So we're all good. All right, my friend, I'm going to go grab some brunch here myself. We'll talk to you later. From KF8DRC, WD8KLO. Work clear.
Yeah, 7Q. T-Mobile, listening on 3-5.
KE8RUH.
Yeah, that's pretty rough, and, you know, it's not
not like today where there's material items going crazy and everybody's getting gifts and buying and things. Back then it was probably like, she probably got like 3 gifts for Christmas and one of them became her birthday present.
Yeah, I mean, some people try to, you know, make it a special birthday ordeal. They didn't even try it. They were literally pulled something out wearing the tree and open that. Like, really? Luckily, I'm in the middle of nowhere in April, so I'm kind of far enough away from any other holidays to really make that. That's kind of the thing with the kids too. Is like you can't really get them like summer things because they won't be able to use them for months. And you know, there's no birthday or anything to give them summer things when before the summer. So I mean, they just kind of get random stuff throughout the year.
That is a tough thing, you know, because it's nice when it's spaced out. You can have Christmas, you get winter things, and you know, birthdays, you get summer things, but when the birthdays are in November and December, it makes it pretty difficult to get cool stuff for the summer, unless you're just buying it for them.
Yeah, once in a while we'll get them something or whatever. At this point, they're kind of running out of things to get them. They're getting to the age where all they care about is on their phone.
Yeah, the days of fun presents are gone, right? Like the fun toys and cool stuff like that. But, you know, hopefully that stuff will come back around. Not necessarily the toys, but, you know, gifts that are exciting to us also.
Fun toys are the expensive toys, you know. All the electronics are so much more expensive now.
I think you're getting to the end of your rope there. I don't know where you're at, but if you can switch repeaters, you may want to. Starting to get pretty, a lot of bacon fry there.
Yep, I already flipped. I know it's getting to the end.
There you go. Sounds a lot better.
Yeah, the Holly machine, when I get near my house, it kind of runs out of so the flip to the bird machine, but now I'm getting away from the house, and the opposite problem.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I spend most of my time in range of the Warren FBI machine, so I rarely ever have to switch off of it.
Yeah, when I was down there, I never flipped off of it. It was as far as west I would go would be 75, so I was pretty much always in range of it. Started coming up here, it was I would be on the FBI until I run out of that and then flip over to Holly. Now I'm even further north, so they're going to go to another machine. The West Bloomfield one, when that's up to full power, that one helps fill in the gap. But not right now.
Yeah, I'm always pretty surprised by the coverage of these things. I was, the other night I was talking on the Warren FBI, and I had to have been, I don't know, 20 miles as the crow flies, if not farther, and getting into it pretty solid.
Yeah, I can carry that machine pretty much up to exit 91, so it starts getting a little bit hilly there, so there's kind of a little spot where you don't really get either machine. You can get pretty good with that machine. I don't
know West Bloomfield machine. I picked that one up down by Cobo before, but where it was at. Tell trees you can get some range out of the machine.
Yeah, you know, with a mobile, it's pretty easy, you know, with 50 watts. I know with an HT, I can't even hit Warren from my house, and it's probably about 6 miles as the crow flies. So these mobiles in our cars are pretty nice, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's something with that area that you're at, though. They're shorter than that. They came to the FBI machine, but I was up on in Macomb Township at Paul Road. I could hit it with an HT. I was able to hit that and Romeo with an HT from my house there. But there's something with that St. Clair Shores and Girls Point area.
Yeah, it is weird because I can hit, I think it's LTZ, the Central Michigan repeater down in Detroit, which would be further from my house than the Warren FBI, but I can hit that with an HT, and it's just weird. It's almost like there's something preventing it from getting to us, the signal.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a hole or something. It's HD and LTS, that's right there. Those Triad machines aren't really Del3s, though. So, like the GM machine on top of their end set and everything.
K8RUH. Yeah, I can pretty easily hit the Rensen GM repeater. But I think everybody can pretty easily hit that one in Metro Detroit, at least.
Yeah, no, I'd hit that one with an HT in Macomb Township. that one's a little bit of a special animal, though.
Yeah, for sure. That's a long stretch, Macomb Township to downtown. But it's pretty high up, I believe it, but you probably could do it semi-regularly.
Yeah, I didn't do it too much. I didn't use this GM machine very much, but a couple times I tried it. I think it was a little bit staticky, but still could get in there.
Yeah, I don't get on that machine very often either. I don't know. I think they still do their Monday Night Net, and they may still do the hook it up to the East Coast reflector in the morning, but I don't know if there's much action on there during the day, but I don't monitor it anymore, so I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah, I think they used to do like a Friday Net too. I don't know, they used to do a bunch of those, you know, really big national nets, whatever, where you get hundreds of check-ins, whatever. But now I'm too far away for that now.
Yeah, I don't think you could hit it. That's quite the reach. If you could, that'd be impressive.
I have a double nickel in Flint. That was when I first moved up here. I had a scan on, and there was a band opening, and started picking up a double nickel when I was in north end of Flint.
That's pretty impressive. I know Dakota used to be able to hit it from his old house in Armada with a handheld. I think he was using a roof-mounted antenna, but still, it was 5 watts.
Yeah, that machine, he's got another one up in Port Austin, too, so they it used to be linked, so you used to be able to go straight up from Metro Detroit all the way up to the Thumb and two different machines.
That's pretty cool. I'm always, like I said before, I'm always impressed with the coverage of these repeaters. It's pretty impressive.
He'd be like, yeah, I wonder how it is out west when you get all the mountains and stuff. I mean, he probably...
You know, I was in Denver in the wintertime and drove up and stayed in a small town in the mountains, and I brought a HT with me thinking, you know, maybe I'd be able to hit a repeater or something. And because those mountains are just so big and gnarly, unless you're in kind of a populated area or... probably would have had to do a little more research than I did. There was nothing that I could hit. It was pretty wild. But I was really in, like, a valley surrounded by mountains. We stayed, like, right off I-70, and I was surprised that there was nothing, but there was nothing in the area that I was in.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You get quite a bit of pockets of, if you get something on top of a mountain, you get far, but yeah, you'd have a lot of blind spots. We did a vacation out in Tucson a couple of years ago. Out there, it's like you get mountains, and then there's surrounded by flat desert, so it's kind of throw a radio. All the radio towers were on top of the mountain there. It covered the whole city and that stuff with it.
Yeah, I would imagine if you can get a good flat area in between mountains, you can get a wild amount of coverage. But, you know, I was, like I said, in a valley right off I-70. So you looked left, you looked right, there was a giant mountain on each side that went up another, you know, 1,000, 1,500 feet, and I was thankful I was getting a cell signal, let alone a radio signal.
Well, some spots in Michigan you get better radio coverage than you do cell coverage. I guess mountains get too bad, it gets hard to get a radio up on the top of them, but you got all the weather and stuff to deal with.
Yep. Hey, I am about 30 seconds out from my driveway, so I'm going to be clear on your final here, and hopefully catch up with you again soon. This is KERUH. It was good talking to you this afternoon.
KFADFB. KACAKL.
KJO, KF8GFB. How's it going out there today, Tom? Just got back from deer hunting, back at work today, and trying to get back in the swing of things.
Well, it was a pretty easy day. We set some cameras, changed some batteries, and walked through a plant and find some panels. That's about it. Simple stuff.
Sounds good. We've been having all kinds of false alarms with our system at STI. We've got one door that, I don't know, last couple nights it goes off. It's got to be either a reed switch or maybe the door's moving a little bit with the door striker or something and causing the reed switch to fail, but we don't know yet.
Oh, I can believe it. Maybe a door switch or something like that. You know, one of my customers already uses another provider, don't you? Or do you service your own?
We're pretty good in IT, so we do what we can, but we don't take it too far. We actually go through a smaller company called Audio Sentry, only because the owner of our company started that business.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I knew somebody that went to Audio Sentry.
So I'm curious if this radio is working all right. I'm actually at home, and I bought, this is the Anytone D578. I got primarily to have as UHF, VHF, and primarily DMR in the ham shack. Eventually, I think I'll get an ICOM 9700 for the rest, but just trying this out. I still don't have a good antenna outside.
Beautiful. Clear the bell. And it's 859.
Good deal. I've actually got just, because I'm working on the shack, trying to get power and grounding in for bigger and better things. But, yeah, I've literally got a mag mount that used to be in my truck with a, I don't know, I forget the exact model of Comet, but it's in the office here, not yet outside. So, but we are running, you know, higher power with the mobile, so it should get out to the Holly repeater. I'm probably 10 miles away.
Yeah, I'm on it on a 10.5 AM, so it stays there for a good ground plate.
Yeah, exactly. I'm putting in some grounding plates and all that so I can just hot swap radios in and out if I do, even though I kind of think I'm looking at specific radios and won't do that much, but kind of like the modularity of being able to plug one in quick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to do that at my house. I've got an old farmhouse, so I got an attic that I could stand up in, but only one half of it is boarded. The other side is just insulation. So I got to get a pipe in and mount it up in the rafter, put a mag mount up there, and then just run the RG all the way down to the room below it. There's already a test there, so I got the mobile unit, I got a power supply, just got to get the antenna and put it all together.
That's exactly where I'm at. I was looking for power supplies, and I was thinking I need, you know, 2-3 radios in here is about it. I can make that work, and I don't know if I needed 2-3 power supplies. I ended up finding on a website a used rack mount power supply of 15 amp Astron, and I put that in with a couple distribution blocks under it that are 40 amps a piece, which is too much total, but I fused them and put the right gauge wire on it, and they each have 4 radio outputs, which is too much, but if you're only transmitting on one, and they have amp and voltage meters on them, so I kind of see where I'm at, but can't anticipate transmitting on more than one at a time, so it should work.
Oh, yeah, if you're just monitoring on the other radios, you're fine. I mean, not like you're going to be holding all 3 mics down at one time, you know. So, and that's how I do it here. I mean, I got this radio, the Alinco, and I got my Motorola. They're tied down to the fuse block underneath my derriere. You know, coming off a 200 amp fuse, but both radios are independently fused. I only talk on one or the other. Can't do both.
Exactly what I'm doing, and I just looked at my output as I'm transmitting. I was at 0.7 amps, 13.8 volts on when I was listening to you, and it jumped up. I'm at about 8.7 amps transmitting this, the mobile again, probably 50 watts.
Yeah, that sounds about right. My question is, you know, my pole is probably about 7 amps on transmit, about half an amp, you know, 500 milliwatt or 500 milliamps monitor. So, monitor, all it is a radio. You know, but when you key up that mic to 50 watts, you're pulling about 7 amps.
So, I heard you guys talking this morning and you got your All-Star node going. Have you had chance to mess with that much? I got a clear node a couple months ago, and I've used it to connect to FDI before I had a good mobile here so I could use an HT in the house, but haven't done anything else other than just connect to the FDI network, and that's straightforward and easy. I don't know if you've done anything else on it yet, but curious to find out what mine can do.
And I brought it with me here in the van. I tried to, you know, hook it up to my my Wi-Fi puck, and I tried the hardwired Wi-Fi that I got in the van also, and keep saying it. Failed to connect. Again, when I take it home, it works just fine, so I could just, and I looked at all my firewalls, and I don't see anything in, on either of the modems. So, hey, as long as I got it to work at home, then I can get on the MPI network, or I can get on, WA8MAC 147.2 for my ARPS nets, then I'm okay with that. That's the whole purpose of getting it.
Yeah, it definitely works great for getting through. I actually took it down with an HT. We were in Florida, down by the Florida-Alabama border in October, and rented a condo, and I put the All-Star, and I'm just used to listening to you guys. Even though I don't chime in as much, I'll get better. But, yeah, I had it down there and took the HT out by the pool and had good coverage all around the condo complex with just the All-Star node. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy how it works.
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to plug mine into the front room and just set it there on top of the one of the two printers that I have back in there or the tower. And the radio's just got a little dongle on it, so that'll just sit in there. And then I can walk around the house and chit-chat.
Hey, another question, because I know you get on the DMR, and I just got this D578. And I was messing with it last night, and even though I had a DMR working, just an HT, a Baofeng, I saw that you could download, like, the contact list into here, and I put the whole damn world in because it fits, and saw some people on Statewide 1 talking yesterday, and instead of just getting the DMR radio number, it gives names and everything, which was, you know, call sign. That was kind of cool. Have you got yours to do that kind of stuff yet?
Yeah, I got a couple in my contact list. I got to load it up again and, you know, save it. I got to do that by laptop because the Motorola, I can't front panel or anything on it. So I have quite, you know, I got some people in there. I don't have everybody in there. But, you know, I know their voice, so.
Yeah, I generally know the voices, too, even if I haven't talked to people, but, no, right on the Anytone website, they had, you can just they get a new fresh copy of the global database every day, and you can download North America or just certain states or whatever. I just put the whole globe in there, and people I've never talked to, like yesterday I was on the, I wasn't talking, but I had Statewide 1 on, and I heard a few people talking, and it even said that the last call that came through was Lance, I assume, AVAY. I haven't talked to him, but hear him regularly, and it said, or that was last heard, it said was Lance, and then or last call, I think, was Lance, and last heard was Abby or Vipers. I don't know who Abby is, but yeah, it's just crazy. It, you know, you can put them in before you've ever talked to them, and as long as it can hold, I think the DMR, there were 275,000 global contacts, but the radio holds 500. Yeah, Abby is probably ABAY, which is Lance. KKKKL. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of that, but it's literally on, you know, this is a really small display on this Anycone D578, and it's right up the top, and one of them said LC Lance, and then it said LHABAY. You're probably right, but I don't know why. I had to Google it to see what LC and AH meant, or LH meant, and it said last heard, last call. Which I guess may be the same thing. Yeah. Sorry. Not thinking too clearly after a rough day at the office. Oh, I get that. I started off at Southfield at 8 Telegraph, somewhere around there. Then I had to jump out to Livonia. And after Livonia, I jumped over to Southfield again at 10 at Lobster. So, bounced around. You know, yesterday was a little bit different. Yesterday was Midland and then Kalamazoo and then home in Memphis. So yesterday was a stretch. Today, not too bad. You're still out too late. 5:41 is too late, if that's what time it is. I noticed my clock's... No, it's 6:17. See, the other thing is I can't figure out how to set the clock on this thing, and even Google tells me how to do it, and my menus aren't the same. If I need to update the firmware to get the latest update to this, we just got it. So you said any time, they probably just updated it not too long ago. Yeah, I'm not sure. It seems like if you buy this off Amazon, seems like one of the big Anycone dealers in the U.S. is Bridgecom Systems, and a lot of people were warning if you buy the radio from them, it's tied down, certain bands are blocked, and it's more open if you buy it from Gigaparts or DX Engineering, which is what I did. So Bridgecom supplies a CPS for programming on their website that's a little different, but it's restricted. So I paid to get the RC Systems one for like $25, and it's just, there's not as much documentation, but we'll figure it out. I buy my antenna from DX Engineering. I bought my radio from DX Engineering. I got two ball fans, and I got two old Alico G5GTs or something like that. Those ones I can't program by computer. They're old, so those are easy to program. Similar programming to an ICOM, believe it or not, for those radios. I had one of those too, and I gave that away. But that's how I program it. I'm strictly going to use those for my I'll start note. And I'm having a brain fart today. It's too late. Yeah, most of the programming I've done so far is just on the face plates of the even my FTM-150, the Yaesu in the truck, generally just programmed it from the front. I just recently put an SD card in it and got it a little more cleaned up. You'd think as an IT guy I would do it all that way, but I haven't yet, and moving forward, I got to do more of that consistent work. Yeah, see, I'm the same way. You know, like I said, I have the software for the Alinco. I just haven't gotten the cable for it. I should order the cable. But I already got it all programmed. The only reason I want the cable is to upload it and save it onto my file server, you know, so I have a copy of it just in case everything goes south. Exactly, and that's why I want to do it too, because, you know, some of these programs take you a little bit to figure out, and if you don't touch it for 6 months and it breaks, you're going to forget how to do it again. So, yeah, I'm trying to back all that up as well.
Yeah, what I want to do is, I mean,
I'm still learning about port forwarding, you know, and stuff like that. But my file server, I can get to it at, from home, either through remote desktop or through, it's called Hamachi from Logbin, and that has tunneling software. But sometimes it doesn't work, so that's why I want to do port forwarding. Being able to on my laptop, if I'm on the network, I can just ping it, latch into the one of the drives.
You're talking about getting to your shared file storage at your house from remote?
Yeah. I mean, the only other way to do it is, I mean, I can get the files if I use TeamViewer and file transfer. I've done that before. But, you know, I want to be a way that when I load up my laptop, you know, my personal laptop in my truck, that it links right to the computer.
Gotcha. Yeah. I would be a little, you know, as an IT guy, a little cautious about doing any unnecessary port forwarding. There are ways to get to your files and such, but yeah, make sure it's secure enough. And if you need any advice, I've got myself and lots of other guys that have done that stuff, but port forwarding is good, but yet, yeah, there's some precautions to be taken.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing is, since I have a fiber network now, you know, I can get into the fiber modem and make any changes like I did for the DSL one. So I typically use TeamViewer and do file transfers that way if I need to. You know, or like I said, Logbin and Hamachi is a pretty good one too. So I have, you know, software that I use to do it. And, that stuff is firewalled. So I'm okay with it that way. I really don't want to open up my network to the outside by any means. I got too many files on there.
Yeah, just to give you a real-world example of some of the problems, and you don't think about it. So we knew a company just a few years ago that it's right in your wheelhouse. So you think, like, you know, you go into an ADI or something, you get yourself a 4/8-port CCTV NVR, network video recorder, and some CCTV. Just the smaller ones, not like a big system, but small one, maybe 4/8 cameras. And what was happening is people were putting them in residential houses and enabling port forwarding so they could see their cameras from outside rather than allowing it to, and I get it, the Chinese companies have like a something that the NVR connects to out there and then you connect through that. It's like a middleman. And so rather than do that, they enabled port forwarding. And then what happened is there's, you know, there's a line to that IP address of that NVR from the outside internet, and they all got targeted and hacked at once, and this manufacturer had thousands of NVRs out there in the field that automatically just quit working because they've been compromised, and those Linux boxes that were recorders were doing illicit work to help them hack other stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's why we don't use that brand that starts with a H. We don't use that one anymore because of that, because of the chips that were in there. And they were banned by the federal government for use in any of their facilities. So we don't use them. We have higher quality, higher priced equipment that we use. We have our own, as a matter of fact. And if you want to see your cameras from the outside world, you have to use the QR code that's in there, download the app, and then there's social ports, and it's all written in your phone. That's the only way you can access it, and only the people that have the QR code can get into the system.
Yes, I follow you completely, and I know the three-letter company starting with H, whose cameras you talk about. This was more on NVRs and not even just related to them and the Chinese ties, but they were legit, you know, their NVR is generally running on a version of Linux, so it's nothing proprietary, and it wasn't the China connection causing the link. It was just they were running Linux, and those Linux boxes were available out there on the internet because of port forwarding, rather than using the QR code method that you talk about, and I got that. That's a better way. You could still get compromised, but it would require that middleman, the manufacturer, getting compromised first, which is still a little bit more secure, but yep. Yep, it's a real threat.
That's why that manufacturer, that product is dirt cheap. Well, I can get this one for $500, blah, 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 where my NVRs are in the thousands of dollar ranges.
Exactly. Yeah, those NVRs, you can pick them up well, you know, on the distribution market. They can be under $100 for a four channel, super cheap. But yeah, we're generally running for our CCTV. We use Digital Watchdog. It's called in the U.S. It's really Network Optics over in Europe, and they brand it as Digital Watchdog. Well, DW Spectrum. It's their virtual platform. Digital Watchdog, I'm sure you know them, and they sell NVRs as well. We don't use their NVRs because we run them on VMs, and we've got server-based with network-attached storage, but we run the DW Spectrum, which is similar to, like, Milestone X-Protect, I think.
The DW Spectrum is, like, the lower-end system, and I think that's Linux-based. And I think the regular DW cubes are, I think they're Linux. I think DW is all Linux-based, believe it or not. I'd have to look. But yeah, we deal with Digital Watchdog and the Spectrum version. And Stico is a piece of junk. And we deal with American Dynamics and Exact Vision and all that stuff. So I said our stuff is pretty high-end. And a lot of R&D goes into our products that we make to avoid all the infiltration.
DW Spectrum is also garbage.
Is that Dakota?
Good evening, gents.
What's better than DW Spectrum? And I'm not doubting you, Dakota. I haven't seen a whole lot in the last couple of years. So, yeah, if there's something better, I want to know it. We'll put it in.
So let me just give a backstory before I publicly bash BW Spectrum. It was good when we had it installed initially through the series of updates and patches over the last couple months. It's virtually unusable on my displays run by ThinkStation P3s with an NVIDIA card. I don't know what they did, but during the update process, they just completely screwed up the interface with any NVIDIA cards to where they just crash constantly. And that is from DW. I sent them dump files, and that was the workaround they gave me. And long story short, they're hoping for Q1 of 2026 to have a fix. And if I were to budget aside Verkada, I would say Verkada, Verkada, Verkada.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you were running the DW Spectrum, the server-based stuff, not their appliances where you buy their whole hardware and everything, but you can just throw it on either Linux, Mac, or Windows. We're running ours on Linux because it's cheaper, but yeah, Linux servers. We've got two, but I just want to make sure you're talking about the same stuff.
I'm talking client side. So we have video walls everywhere that we put up a lot of these cameras in our shops and whatnot, and that's where I have the issues. From the server side, it's not too bad. If I gotta go pull footage, it's there. But as an end user, it's they have issues constantly. It crashes, it freezes, it locks up. I try to put these up on video walls for a period of time, and they don't make it through the day without crashing.
Exactly.
Okay, that's interesting. So we're not that big a company. We have like three buildings, 100 employees or so here. We don't have video walls per se, but there are like We've had a couple of exit doors going into the parking lot where someone flies out there. You got trucks coming in and people almost get hit. So we put some client software on a little mini PC you get off of Amazon, like DreamQuest is a brand we buy that has worked pretty good off Amazon. You get a Windows 11 mini PC that operates decent for under $200, cost you that much for Windows. And we'll Velcro that to the back of a monitor and throw it up next to a door, and we, you know, can get a couple cameras up there running the EW Spectrum client, where generally those are Windows, our servers Linux, and they stay up, just these cheap PCs. But we're not doing, I don't know what kind of fancy video walls, or if you're just doing the same thing.
The only reason I mentioned video wall is like it's a public display. Same exact use case as you. The difference is I'm running it on hardware that should be more than it is more than capable of running it. It's P3 ThinkStations, which are those tiny. They're basically thin clients, but they're i7, 16 gig RAM with an NVIDIA T1000 in it. So it's a 4 gig graphics card, I think. And it's just a source that's piped into our video wall. So it's as if you plugged it into a monitor. It would be no different. It just doesn't stay on. It just crashes because it's using NVIDIA. And that was what DW said. They said it's because I have NVIDIA cards in these machines that it's crashing. And these machines are about $2,500 a piece. So I'm not going to rush out and replace all these because DW doesn't cooperate.
Yeah, I understand that completely, and that's frustrating. I can just say that, so it was probably 2020, 2021, I was at the ISC show, it's the International Security Conference out in Vegas. We were, we always go to the show and present as well as attend, and I don't go very often being in IT, but I happened to be there, and I met with Network Optics. So that's who really makes the DW Spectrum. It's just sold under that, the private label to DW Spectrum or Digital Watchdog in the U.S. But Network Optics, NX Witness is what the software is called. Network Optics is the company, and NX Witness is what Digital Watchdog really is in the rest of the world. And I met with a guy, this Russian dude that actually programmed in it, and he said that even for a server, you can use, if you had like 100 cameras, this is before we had it, if you have 100 cameras, you at that time, and they weren't even running like the H.265, so 264 was a lot less, required a lot more bandwidth. You'd run 100 cameras on a cheap i5 that was obsolete with 8 gig of RAM. So the server requirements, the processing on the back end are so low that even on the client, you can have a garbage PC, which is why we use those. I think those DreamQuest ones we buy, they're like the size of 2 packs of cigarettes. And it runs fast. They boot a little slow, but they stay up for months and months and months, and they are cheap as hell.
Tom, I'm not trying to cut you out if you want to jump back in.
I'm still here, guys. Just on the phone, trying to find an address.
All right, just making sure. I don't want to kick you out of the group here. You got to jump back in. Yeah, I know that's really what needs to happen. But it's just frustrating. It's good hardware. We have, oh my God, I bet you I have 200 of those deployed. And the only thing that they have problems with is DW. So I probably should swap it out, but here's the other thing, right? They're all domain PCs, so I really don't want Chinese PCs on my domain. It's a whole thing. I know that Lenovo's Chinese, but it's at least Lenovo, not Amazon Chinese. But those thin clients do work good. We've bought a ton of them. I've bought a ton of them for other things in the past. By the way, I don't know how I sound. Am I coming in clean?
Yes, you're completely clean.
All right, the only reason I asked is I just checked my power to see what I was at. I was at 1 watt, and I was like, there's no way I'm getting in.
No, you're like a 5.9. There's no static, crystal clear, nice high volume. Everything's perfect.
Beautiful. Love to hear it. So, coming off this 578 that I heard you talking about, do you like it? I was looking at him. I had him in my cart, and then I was going to build a man bag, right? I did build a man bag. And I ultimately went with another Icon 2730B. But I hear those 578s pretty sweet.
I'm barely early in on it, and, you know, admittedly, I knew this hobby just listening around Christmas last year and didn't get my license until May, and I don't get a lot of time. Started on my cheap bow thing. Since then, when you guys started getting into DMR, I just went and bought a cheap bow thing. I mean, I've had the FTM-150 in the truck since, like, June, and that's great. But I bought a bow thing M32, I think. I've had two of them now. HT, just to see if I could do DMR and wanted to do it before I buy a nice radio. And then bought this. And my initial thoughts are, yeah, I needed more power so I could put it in the shack down here and get out to DMR with a little more reliability. But the HT, this Baofeng, two things. This Baofeng compared to the first one I had was a K5 Plus that piqued my interest. And it works. It is what it is. The menus suck. It's hard to program. This Baofeng was better, and you can program it from the computer, although I haven't even done that yet. Figured out the DMR, no problem. I would say that this D78, works great. It's almost like the menus and everything. I swear this 578 comes out of, well, we know it comes out of China, but I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out of the same damn factory. They are that close. But I'm good with the Baofeng, and this works great. And I've got, I don't know if you heard me tell Tom, I put the whole global database of contacts in here, and I was hearing people yesterday talking on statewide one, and you can see who it is and with their call sign and name. So it's kind of cool. I'm back.
Hey, EBF. Welcome back, Tom. Yeah, those 578s from the couple videos I watched, they're basically the exact same interface as the 878, which I have and I'm super familiar with. That's kind of my DMR gateway with an open spot. So yeah, that radio's still on my list. I'll probably pick one up someday. But the only thing that deterred me was the cost. It was a lot of money. If I was going to use it as a base station, for sure. But I don't know if you're into any of the Discords, but I'm literally just, it's in a bag for when I take my wife's truck that doesn't have a permanent radio in it.
Yeah, I'm not on the Discords. Like to get on there eventually here, but don't know how to do that yet. But yeah, I have heard you talking about your portable rig. I generally listen in the morning, and I'll chime in, but, you know, sometimes you guys got a good conversation going, and I don't have anything to add, so I just listen and enjoy, and it's like kind of my morning routine rather than listening to, like, Dave and Chuck the Freak or that garbage. I can maybe learn something here and there.
I miss the morning show on FBI. Sometimes I'm up too late. You guys are at work earlier than I am. KCKJO.
Yeah, we do start pretty early. But some days we run late. I mean, there's days where I'm jumping off at 7:30.
Well, hey, I got to hop out of here for a few, head up and get something to eat. But it's been great talking to you, Dakota, Tom, always. And yeah, Tom, you ever doing a service call over in Waterford, stop in and we'll show you what we're doing with, you know, the CCTV and all the rest. And you know our products, so we'll show you the manufacturing operation. But I'm sure I'll talk to you guys soon, and I might be back on later. So I'll be clear for now. KF8EFE73.
Yeah, once I'm out on the west side there again, out by Waterford, I'm definitely going to hit you up. Not that hard to find you.
Good talking to you, man. We'll talk soon. And yeah, if you're ever ever monitoring in the morning, don't be a stranger. Feel free to jump in. We're usually just BSing.
Yeah, that's all we're doing. We all just like to hear ourselves talk.
Yeah, pretty much. Are you still on the road or are you at home?
No, I'm here in Armada trying to find this house to pick up a turkey. 74685. Yeah, there's a turkey sitting on the porch. My wife won it in a little lottery.
Gotcha, like downtown Armada?
Yeah, literally on the back side of the fairgrounds off of Burke. And I just found the house, so I'll be right back. Casey, KJ.
Hey, DBF.
Alright, got the turkey. Now she wants me to go back to Burke, or this other street, True Road, and pick up venison. Yeah, Dakota, the Spectrum, yeah, that one isn't the greatest.
But I thought I was on the phone. I'm going to jump out for a minute, though, here. I got to feed those little guys. I'll be back. NADBF.
Yeah, I'll be around. I'm leaving Armada. I'm going home. I'm not going to go search for this house for venison. Pick it up in the morning.
NADBF.
KEAWOK.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Fat, dumb, and ugly, same as every day. How are you doing?
Not so bad. Bummed out. Tomorrow's back to reality, but a good stretch of 5 days and no work.
Excellent. It's nice hearing you at home on the base instead of running around in the mobile there. Did you get your deer yet?
I did fill another tag yesterday, thankfully, at about, I don't know, 4:30, and went out this morning, didn't see anything, and took a nap this afternoon instead of going out, so no complaints.
Excellent. So sounds like you've got maybe one or two freezers full of venison there. Are you processing them yourself?
First one I dropped off, got processed. That one we're going through pretty quick. It was one I shot last night I gave to a buddy. He's going to get a bunch of sticks and salami made and whatnot. He's going to hold deer done and jerky and fun stuff. So all good there. I'm going to buy some of that off of him, help recoup his money. And still got plenty of time to go for antlerless. So I'll shoot another one for me. And then I got a couple buddies that are itching for some. So I still got some deer to put down.
Excellent. I used to grind up all of mine into a burger. I just love venison burger. But, you know, you got to add some kind of beef or something, too, because there's no fat in there. It won't make a burger if you don't add some kind of fat to it. But it was pretty good stuff. But my favorite of all is canned. Cut it in small chunks and can it in those mason jars. Oh, my God, that stuff is good.
Yep, I love venison. It seems like the older I get, the more I like it and appreciate it, but it's probably because of all the crap I read about grocery store meats.
Yeah, exactly, and the canned stuff, too, it would, you know, it stays good for a couple of years kind of thing, no refrigeration needed or any of that kind of stuff, and the brine that you can it in, you can season to, you know, to taste however you kind of like it. It's even plain, it's without any much seasoning at all. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, pretty much anything that you would cook with beef, we substitute venison for.
Yep, exactly. And I got kind of picky there. I didn't want to kind of mix it with anything. So the canned stuff was, it was just like pot roast. I mean, it would just like melt in your mouth. So I ended up eating most of that with cheese and crackers.
So what do you can it with? You like pickle it?
Yeah, we just cut it into chunks and stuff it into the mason jars with a little bit of water, and that's pretty much it. And then can them. But like I say, you could add some spices or, you know, whatever kind of seasoning you want to add to them, kind of thing, and can them up, and that's pretty much it. You're set for a couple of years.
Interesting. All right. I'll have to keep that in mind next time we're processing some stuff.
Yeah, it's excellent. I like it that way anyway. But I'm a little bit lazy, I suppose. I don't like having to do a lot of cooking, a lot of different things, a lot of pots and pans, and you know, a lot of cleanup and stuff. So I like quick and simple stuff, and that canned stuff, man, you can just open a can and spread it out and have at it.
I'm with you. I don't do a lot of cooking anymore. I'll barbecue, but I don't even really do that much anymore either. Really just whatever my wife decides to cook.
So you using that Legend of yours with the FTX, 165 FTX?
Yep, that's all that's ever been fed through that thing, and it never ceases to amaze me. I'm shooting the CVA Scout V2, so it's a, I think it's a 20-inch barrel, and I've got a Sinestro Call Hybrid 46 on the end of it, and the thing just works. It's a laser beam.
Yeah, there's a site with a large forum, what's it called, Michigan Sportsman or something like that, and I hear a lot of guys in there complaining how horrible the 350 is, and it's underpowered and all this crap, and I'm thinking, man, you hear that with everything, you know, every deer season there's all the debates about calibers and stuff, but, you know, it all boils down to shot placement as far as I'm concerned, but they're really pushing that 400 Legend now, you know, how much better it is. I saw a video on YouTube claiming it's one of the most powerful rifle calibers. I had to look at, you know, okay, let's see what they're calling one of the most powerful, and it was that 400 Legend with a, I forgot what it was, 220 grain bullet or something like that.
Oh my God, now we're talking about firearms. Jeez.
Those are the same guys that you give a 30-06 and then miss. So I hear people say that all the time. There's no reason to shoot a 350 when a 450 exists. And then I ask them about how their blood trails are and how many deer they've lost to a 450. But, yeah, no, I have no desire to switch heavy and consider the 400. That deer was at 296 and she dumped. So I don't know what else you really need considering my furthest shot on that property, which is an anomaly for most people's hunting properties, is about 350.
Wow, 296. Hi, Tom. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, I would say looking at the ballistics there, pushing the 350 about out to its limit there. Of course, it's only limited by the guy shooting it, the guy driving it. But I'm real happy with it. I got two of them, an Encore, and then I built an AR upper with, I believe it's got an 18-inch barrel, Shaw Custom. And it shoots a half-inch groove, so it's plenty accurate enough.
KJO.
Come on in, Tom.
I'm going to have to play hooky one day just to go to the range with you guys. You know, I don't know a lot about firearms, but I know how to fire one.
Well, Tom, that would be awesome. I try to invite people to the range all the time, and all of a sudden, you know, they like talking, shooting, but they say, oh, okay, let's go to the range kind of thing, and all of a sudden up comes about 50 or 60 excuses. Anytime you want to go, you just let me know.
Oh, definitely. Once I get a spare moment, you know how that goes. You know, when I'm up in that area, possibly. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to pop off a couple rounds with an AR, see if my aim is still good. It's a shoot at 30-06, 357 Magnum, and of course a 38 Special. I haven't been able to shoot, I think I did a Delta 10. So, but that was back in the late 80s. It's been a long time.
I'm on a Forum 350 versus 400, and it's just full of exactly what you'd expect. 350 is okay for a kid's gun, but it's bad if it's pushed to the maximum of all factory ammo. I would not use it outside of 200 yards. There's just not enough power beyond that.
Well, I guess you proved that wrong, didn't you? Tom, this, I've got a 357 myself, and I started shooting 38 target loads out of it, and I quit that right away. It's the case is about an eighth of an inch shorter than the 357, and it starts putting a carbon ring, shorter than the 357. When you go back to 357s, there's this carbon ring you got to get out of there all the time. It makes loading and unloading the 357s a little difficult than normal. So I quit doing it. KEAWOJ.
Yeah, when I left L.A., L.A. County was migrating from the 357 over to the 9mm. They were doing the Beretta at the time. I can't remember when Glock came around, but I think they're all Glock 9s now. And or what's the other one, Dakota, like the 911 or something like that? It's a Colt something.
A 1911 and 45 ACP.
Yep, that's kind of the gold standard, I guess. Most people are. I don't have one. I don't know why. I just never got around to it. I think my first handgun was a Beretta 96, kind of like the 9mm 92, only in a 40 Smith & Wesson. At the time, a lot of law enforcement around the country, FBI, a bunch of different people, all put different places, were going to the 40. And then they found after a few years it was a little too snappy for most people, and the bullet construction got a lot better. Lot better ammo for 9mm, so everybody went back to the 9mm.
Well, I know I mentioned my daughter and her boyfriend are looking at getting their CPL. Yeah, their CPL, and then they're going to start shopping around, so I might get you too involved with pictures and stuff like that. Dakota, I got your number, so that way she knows what she's looking at, what is good and what isn't good, kind of thing. I want her to be educated before she buys a new toy.
I'm not the guy to ask, because when it comes to handguns, I buy one handgun and one handgun only.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm kind of the same way. I'm rifles are my forte there. Handguns, I'm okay with, I'm fine with, but they're just not my thing. And I got some friends, and old friends, him and his wife, they decided to get their licenses and carry, and they bought some very small ultralight Ruger 38s. And so I loaded them up some, self-defense ammo kind of thing. They weren't max loads, but they were about a grain under max. And they're way too hot and snappy for them. So I can't remember what it was, your daughter, I think you said, or your wife, you might want to take them to a range. There's a number of places where you can actually rent a gun in different calibers, 38, 32 ACP, 25 ACP, and different things. Let them shoot different calibers and see how they handle it before you commit to one. KEAWOJ.
Joe, that is a great idea. Absolutely. And, you can get me on QRZ, and my email's in there, Rick. So, and Dakota, I mean, just, if you know the ranges, then rent them out. I'll see if we can make a day to go out there so she can try it. And that way they'll be comfortable with what they want to look for. And thanks for the info on that. Dakota?
I would just go to Range USA right on Hall Road, east of, what is that, east of Plank a bit, east of Heinrich. It's over by Senior Barrymore. I'd go there. They got a bunch of guns you can rent. They're not too expensive. They sell ammo. The range is nice. The staff's pretty decent. Yeah, I'd go there. And I've shot a ton of handguns. I've owned a ton of handguns, and the only ones that I've kept are my Glocks. So that's why I said I'm biased. It's all I carry. It's all I shoot. It's all I own. I have no desire to buy anything else. It's one of those things, once you find what you like and what you shoot well, you don't change it.
Yep, I agree 100%. And there's also another place called Target Sports. They have places all around different areas. There's one over here in Kego Harbor. Same thing, they got all kinds of stuff you can rent. The ranges are nice, indoor. And they have the lanes, you know, with the motorized targets there, so nobody has to wait, you know, for a ceasefire to go change targets or any of that kind of thing. But I would I would consider the 22 mag. Up until recently, 22 mag semi-autos were just too difficult. There was some kind of thing that you couldn't get around. You could get them in revolvers, but not in semi-autos. But now they all work past that, and all of them, all the OEMs now are producing some 22 mags that are pretty doggone nice, and especially for women, weaker people, seniors and stuff, there's not hardly any recoil, and 22 mag will definitely do the job. Tom, go ahead.
Oh, my daughter is no weakling, believe me. She tosses hail, you know, bales of hail, or what is that? Bales of hay, that's the word I was looking for. You know, and she rides a 1,500-pound quarter horse. So, and she works on cars. So, she's a tomboy. So, I think she could probably handle a 38.
The problem you're going to run into with a 38 is you have to shoot in a wheel gun, which they're fine, but ammo capacity is not fine. You get 5 to 6 rounds, sometimes 7 or 8, but you're spending over $1,000 for a gun that'll do that. I would look at 9mm. I would probably, unless you're talking 380, but if you're talking 380, I've got horror stories that I would tell you not to carry a 380. They're extremely underpowered. I would really hone in and just work on shooting a 9mm proficiently.
I agree. I'm partial to the 9 myself. I like the Beretta, but I think the Beretta's a little heavy. I haven't seen the Glock 9, but quite a few buddies I have, they have the 1911, so I might lean towards that because that sounds like it's pretty fair, but I also like the Glock. The Glock 9 is a really nice gun.
KF80FV.
Well, it all boils down to what you're going to do with it. If you're going to pocket carry her, you know, she's going to carry in a purse, or the Berettas are heavy, they're big. They do have smaller versions of it. They have some, what were they, the 84s, I think, but that's, you know, 380s and some of the, like Dakota was just talking about kind of thing. I think your best bet is to travel around. Don't get in a hurry. Travel around to a few of those places, run a few different guns, let her try them out, and see if she's going to be a big or not. Yeah, I've seen a lot of big guys that are recoil shy, so size don't seem to matter there. Anyway, you'll have to you know, test it out before you do any committing. That'd be my advice anyway. KEWOJ, Tom.
Yeah, there was another station calling there. I think it was a KF8E something. Go ahead, new station, KCKJO.
Yeah, this is Shane again, KF8EFD. I was just calling to give a second opinion on what Dakota said about the 380. So I was hunting a couple of years ago with my boss, and he shot a deer and called me from his stand and asked for help. So I went over there, and he's like, it's still wounded. And he put a decent shot on it, but it was down, so we walked over to it. It was down hurting, head was up, and he wanted to put it out of his misery, and he pulled a 380 out of his pocket, walked right up next to it because he couldn't get up, and as soon as he shot it point blank in the head, the thing got up, tried to run, did a somersault that I kid you not, you think a deer can't do a somersault, it did it, and we chased that thing for 4 hours and finally got it, but yeah, that had no knockdown power after a pretty good shot.
All right. You guys got me convinced. I'll talk to her on it when I see her tomorrow and go check out the different ranges and try the different calibers, find one that she's comfortable with. And I think I'll keep her with, make sure that she sticks with a 9. And a Glock sounds like a nice light gun for her. All right. I just pulled up to my KTH, and my dog is licking the window as usual, and I got an 18-pound turkey and a crap ton of venison I got to bring in the house. So I'll say 73 to all of you. We'll talk in the morning. KTO.
Have a good night, Tom. I have very similar situations with the 380. Both putting deer down, and I've heard local incidents where humans were involved in the same result. I wouldn't be convinced that it would go through a Carhartt and kill you.
I completely agree with it. We followed it for like 4 hours.
I've heard and seen the same thing out of
and
many other calibers also.
Wrecked our morning hunt a bit because it was pretty early when we went to help. And then we went in for lunch, had some lunch, and one of our guys went out to a different stand. And he's been helping us hunt for hours to look for the deer.
She wanted to
get to the base of his stream stand. It was probably about a half a mile from where we left off. I think the deer was sitting under the stand still alive.
So she got out. I don't know if she had a Beretta 92 with a 9mm or a 1911. I think she had the 9mm. And she had close range, neck and head, and it still took like 4 or 5 shots. It was very interesting. But, you know, I've heard the same kind of stories for almost every caliber, which, again, to me just means shot placement.
You guys doubled pretty good there, but I actually heard both of you. If you're going to carry something that you're going to put your life, on the line with and depend on, I would definitely make sure you can at least kill a deer with it. That's kind of a good rule of thumb.
Yes, sir, and if you're, talking about wintertime, lots of thick clothes on, and a lot of people like to wear leather, leather coats, leather vests, and stuff in between kind of thing. All of a sudden, the hollow points are not quite the ticket there. They start expanding before it even gets into the body kind of thing, and it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. That's where the hard cast lead comes in. I know it sounds kind of funny, but there's been a lot of testing done on it. You need penetration.
Sorry, I had to stop away for a second and take a couple pictures of a couple radios I'm going to get rid of here.
I had to step away for a second as well. Sorry about that. KF8 EFD.
Oh, cool. What are you going to replace it with?
They've already been replaced. It's a Redivis RT3 with GPS and then a Anytone 778 UV.
Oh, okay. I recently got the 578, and boy, I am loving that thing. And I'm talking to you now on the 878.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about that 578. I have my eye on it. I had my eye on it. I ordered a Icon 2730B instead, just because it was about $200 cheaper. But it's still on the list of radios that I want to obtain at some point. And I have an 878 too. It's the third one I bought, and it's the third one that sits on my shelf collecting dust and doesn't get used. So I might get rid of that one too. Breaking station. I barely heard you, but go ahead.
Is that all right?
Is that N-8-Z-R-I?
Roger that. Kilo Echo 8-Z-R-I.
Copy. I got you now. You're a little bit louder. What's going on?
Well, I was going to make a comment about the 380. There's a specific round that you can use in the 380. I've seen it. It's a CN machine copper bullet, and I've seen pictures of it going through a whole block of FBI skeleton and into a second block. They put another block behind the first block and went all the way through the first one into the second one. It's known for its penetration.
Yeah, there's an ammo company called, Buffalo Boar, I think it is. They're known for very high quality, very good penetrating bullets of any caliber, or rounds of any caliber kind of thing. So you could probably make anything do well if you worked at it, but the debate could go on forever kind of thing, but there are certain calibers that just do better than others, usually. Anyway, that's just my opinion. K-8-W-O-J.
Yeah, I agree on the 380. It doesn't penetrate that much, but if you use this one bullet, boy, it can really penetrate. I don't know what's the matter with this radio. I don't think I'm pinging the repeater.
You're getting in, but you're light.
Yeah, you're getting out. You're real low. It's like it's not statically like you're at the end of your string. It's like the radio's 20 feet away from you or something.
Well, I'm right up to the mic. I'm 1 inch away from the mic, and I'm trying to talk loud. I don't know what the heck's going on with this thing. Somebody else has complained about that before. And then I'll go to a different frequency, and then it works great again.
What radio?
Are you on a handheld or a mobile or a base?
900. The Yaesu clone. And, I don't know what's the matter with it.
Sound good over here.
KFABLX.
WSKG 883 on the side.
Any other stations want to jump in here?
KE4ZYQ, good evening to all on frequency.
WSKG 883, just staying on top of the evening, trying to get a radio check.
You're on the wrong frequency there, buddy. This is AM frequency. You're looking for GMRS frequencies.
Thank you.
F8BLX, hey, just wanted to say to the gentleman, I did not get your call sign. That's stolen the radios there. If you do decide to get rid of one of your 878s there, I would definitely be interested.
Yeah, my 878, I got back in February there, and I had trouble learning DMR, trying to do my own coke plug, so it sat there collecting dust for a long time, and I finally got it through my thick skull, what I had to do, and ever since then, it's become my favorite radio. I seem to carry it around with me all over the place.
Yeah, I'm using a Bofang, one of the new DM32s right now. And I can't complain about it, except for the fact that it is a programming nightmare. And it's got so many little glitches in it and everything that you have to circumvent and learn your way around circumventing them. So I'm looking for another DMR handheld that will do everything, basically, so I only have to carry one radio around with me is what I'm looking for.
You tried Kirk? Well, any tone also makes the D168, which is pretty much the same thing, but quite a bit cheaper, $150 cheaper, I think, than the 878. Nice radio. I've got one. I kind of enjoy it, but for some odd reason, I was really stuck on this 878.
878s are good radios. The 168 doesn't have Bluetooth and GPS, and it doesn't do APRS, obviously, because it doesn't have GPS. But KFABLX, if you want to shoot me an email on QRZ, it's just nabf.radio@gmail.com. I'm sure we can figure something out. Like I said, I bought it. It's sitting on my shelf. Still has the screen protector on the screen, the film that comes with it. So I've got the box, the stickers, the programming cable, the whole nine.
All right, can you shoot me that one more time? I wasn't quite ready for it, and you kind of broke up a little bit there, too.
Yeah, it's November 8, Delta Bravo Fox dot radio at gmail.com.
Got it. All right, I will definitely shoot you an email there, and we can figure something out. Yeah, I kind of want the 77 or the 878 because it's a 10 watt radio too, isn't it?
No, 7 watt on turbo. I just looked you up on QRZ too. We're an hour away, so I can cover shipping. So shoot me an email. I can get this thing out to you tomorrow.
Cool. Will do. Definitely will do. Okay. And all 7 watts is still better than 5. That's my only issue with handhelds is my distances, but I'm not having too much of a problem with this 10-watt Bofang, and I know it's only, I haven't put it on the meter, actually. It's still one of the only radios I haven't put on the meter, but I know it's only probably putting out maybe 5 or 6, so should be good with that, too.
I've got a couple of the, I'm not sure how to pronounce them, Woxon or Woshang or whatever, W-O-U-X-O-N or something like that, Chinese. They're 10-watt radios, UHF, VHF. I've had them for a few years. They're great little radios. They put out between 8 and 11 on high through UHF and VHF. No problems with them at all. They've worked great for years. In fact, I've dropped them on the concrete. I don't know how many times they're built like tanks.
D4ZYQ, I just got some replacement clips for the UV5R radios. And the clips they got on the original are plastic, and when you pull them to lock them in on a spring load, they can break. But they make an aftermarket one that fits that. It's all metal. You screw it in the back, and it's all metal with a little bit of a spring to the metal, so it will bend to slide over like a clip. So just an FYI for those that have a UV5R, KE4ZYQ.
Where do you get those at, Joe?
Oh, I ordered it recently on one of my last orders ever on Amazon. So it wasn't very expensive for, I don't know, 6 of them. You can get different ones on the Amazon, or you know, you might get 6, you could get 10 or 8, or just depending on which one you order.
Yeah, that's good to know. I don't have any UV5Rs, but my neighbor's got about 10 of them.
QSOVAC, KE4ZYQ. Well, the original clip on the back, if you want to clip it to a belt, or if you got something you want to clip it to carry it around the house, you know, like people that have a rolling walker may have a way to clip it on something, but they can break, I know firsthand, the little plastic clip with the spring load. And like I said, I had to replace a couple of mine, or at least one so far. The other one I haven't put on yet, but yeah, you can replace them if you get the right one.
Hey, W-O-J, I wanted to say, I'm going to do the same exact
thing that you did with the DMI radio. I had a DMI radio and I couldn't figure it out and it sat there for a year on the desk, and then I took it out again. I took another crack at it and I really worked at it and I got the DMR to work on it just like you did. And and it's the Baofeng too. It's the Baofeng DM 1701, and now it's my favorite radio. I love that radio.
Yeah, I bought the 878 back in February, I think it was, and I screwed around with that thing for, I think it was 4 months. I'd work on it for like days kind of thing, get all frustrated, sit in the corner. A few more days would go by and go, well, I'm just not going to let it beat me, and I'd try it again and again and again. It took me like 4 months or so, but once I got it kind of thing, and I'm kind of loving it now.
Yep, K-E-H, is that our I for ID? Thing with my radio, I know what you're going through.
Well, fellas, listen, I got to get out of here. I am out on the porch here, and my hands are getting so cold I can't hardly hang on to the radio anymore, so I got to get into the house and get into the heat. So enjoy the QSO with you guys. Dakota, always love talking with you. Joe, sorry I didn't really get to talk with you much. But we'll catch you all later. KDAWOJ.
Yeah, no trouble there, Rick. I've been busy over here anyhow, so no, I heard you. Just had to jump in and say hello. KE4ZYQ clear. Have a good evening, all.
Have a good night, Rick. Stay warm. Joe, good talking to you. I didn't talk to you much either, but I'm sure I'll talk soon. Have a good night.
Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray, listening.
KJO NAWRO Richmond.
NAWRO KCKJO. You want to bring up the dashboard and see which one I'm hitting? Because all it says here is K8FBI.
At times, your signal's even better on UHF. I don't know how that is, but if it could get better, it did. Go ahead, say a few syllables. I got the dashboard open. NAWRO.
This is Kilo Charlie 8, Juliet Oscar, doing a radio test via All-Star Node. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. KC8KJO.
Once again, the audio quality is very good, and your node is on the dashboard. Lights up your node.
Am I coming through Warren, or am I coming through Richmond?
Well, you actually have a line on the dashboard that's yours. You've got your call sign on it and your QTH, and you've got a node number there. So it comes through your node, not the repeaters. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Sounded like Wally.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And
well, now I need to get that all scan link from you, Wally. Is that something that gets put into the Pi, or is that just a website kind of thing?
You go ahead and put it into the Pi. Allscan.info, and then just follow his instructions.
Yeah, you could also just, you know, do k8fbi.org, right, just to get on the dashboard as well.
No, he wants to program his dash. It's a real simple interface just for his Pi, so he can jump from link to link to link to link really fast.
Gotcha.
Now, does that mean, Wally, that I got to put the chip in the computer and download it that way and then put it back in the Pi?
No, you can go ahead and just do it right from it. Just go to the terminal page and follow the guy's instructions.
Yeah, this might be something I need your help with, so... And the way I have the node set up is I can access it through my file server, so, and I can remote into my file server from your house. So we might have to do this on a day that is available and easy.
Yeah, just go to your web page and then :9000, whatever the heck it is, and then go to terminal.
Yeah, I'm on my terminal. I'm trying to read what it says. Do I just copy and paste this in here?
You're at the 9090.
I just, what do you mean 9090? Like I said, I'm literally in the terminal. I'm in my web browser and went down the terminal. And now I got the KCKGO at node 3159727 in there. So I'm in the script page.
There you go. And then on another tab, go to allscan.info, and then hit the middle on the top where it says web app.
Okay.
And cruise about a quarter way down, and you'll see it says sudo app, update sudo app, install, blah, blah, blah.
Are you talking about on the files? On the top here with all the folders?
No, go about a quarter way down on the page. It'll say log into your node by SSH, which you did. Run the following command. Go there.
Oh, I see. Sudo apt update, sudo app install, blah, blah, blah. Where do I copy and paste it at? Or do I just put that all in the terminal?
You see the square box over the square box up in the right corner of that little window?
Yep, it says copied.
Now go back to your terminal.
Well, holy crap, it's already doing it.
See that? I'm more than just a pretty face. I lost my doggy today. It was a rough day.
Yes, sir. I just would like to know how the puppy is doing.
Puppy didn't make it.
Aw, her heart just swelled for you. She, you know, she loves you guys.
Well, I took her to the vet this morning. They gave her a shot, blah, 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 said she'll be okay, the whole ball of wax. Said stay home with her watcher. So I did. You know, give me a reason to stay home. I did. And then she was laying by my feet most of the afternoon, and then all of a sudden I noticed she was gone. So then I went to look for her. I found her in the bedroom, sitting upwards, kind of like with a back arched, and she was having a hard time breathing. So I grabbed her really quick, put her in the car and started taking her to the animal hospital, and she had a heart attack on me, and she rested. oxygen, and then she had another heart attack, and we couldn't get her back.
Melissa says, give Marion a hug for her.
Oh, we were both there. It was a rough afternoon, dude.
Yeah, like I was talking to you earlier about our border collie. Yeah, you know, had her for 14 years and moved here in April, and she was gone just after her 14th birthday. Like I said, she a disc went in her spine, and it completely paralyzed her. So the vet that we have is a friend of ours, so she rushed out here and, you know, let her cross over. And then she sits with us on the, she sits right here on the TV stand.
Yeah, I can't deal with that kind of stuff. So I just said goodbye, give her the hugs, and that was it. So now, you know, like everything else, it just gets to you. Is that installed yet, or is it still going?
It has completed.
Very good. Now go to the instruction page and you'll see how to get into it. Basically, instead of the 9090, you type in /all scan.
I may have to restart it, I believe. Yeah, it says I gotta reboot the node. So let me do that.
Sorry about that. Marion asked me some questions. Did it work? WAPD.
Hey, you must not be back yet. Wally, really sorry for your loss.
Thanks. That was a tough day, man. I'm telling you what, that was unbelievable. Then she had to go have the heart attack in front of us.
Well, it sounds like you did all you could possibly do, so there's that.
Yeah, well, she was starting to have heart problems anyways, and they said that's common with those dogs, that type of dog. So, you know, she was on Lasix and, you know, the other things, but like I said, it didn't work, and she couldn't breathe. I got her back once, and I thought, okay, I'm doing good. But second time, there was no getting her back.
It's been quite a number of years, but that's what happened to my Boston Terrier. Late one night, after coming in from outdoors, upstairs, same thing, you know, right in my arms like that. So I know how that is.
Oh, yeah, and then they're giving you those eye looks like, help me, help me, help me, you know, so you get all that guilt going through your mind. Anybody that's had a dog with them a long time, they know that.
Well, I tell you what, it's nice having Tom's signal, very readable, legible. I like it. So I appreciate you helping him out with that.
That's the kind of stuff I do. I like doing that stuff. I really do. That, you know, programming these radios, tuning these radios, making these radios work where they're supposed to, All Stars, MMDVMs, all that stuff. I really enjoy that stuff. That's me.
ACAKGO. It didn't work. But I'll read into it more.
Was that a yes or a no?
Negative, zip zero, it says not, says it didn't work.
But it did say successful after all the verbiage when it programmed it, or when it wrote the program into your software, right?
Yes, it did say that. And then it told me to run this auto remove, so I did that. I guess those are installation files not needed. But then I rebooted it, and it still didn't work. So, a little bit further reading.
Okay. Copy the verbiage on the script, the page where you've got the script under the README GPL. Copy that verbiage. See if you got that right. If the right word is copy that URL.
Oh, down at the bottom?
Yeah, on the web page with the instructions.
Well, if it is somehow you corrupted your install, run the script, did not fix it, run the sudo remove, and I did that, and then run the installer again. And then a common fix is rebooting the node. I'm trying to think where your, where's the other portion of it.
Did you rerun the install?
Yeah, I did that, then it, you know, rebooted it, then I, it didn't work, so then I uninstalled it and cleared it out and then ran the script again.
Okay, and you're still slash all scan after instead of the colon 9090. Get rid of the colon. You don't need the colon.
Oh, because it's picking up an IP address and I go to my scan, I can see it in my network. And I just HTTPS into it. It does it by IP address, not by the node.
The IP address will work. WHME. Just do the IP address slash all scan.
I get not found. So that means it didn't take the install.
Should have. Are you using the IP address or the node word?
I'll fill it with it more, if I know where I'm going on it.
Okay, look under the word notes. I'm going to see what mine is. Go down just a little bit farther, and then it says notes.
Okay, see you, KGO. That didn't work, but gives me another project. I'll keep messing with it.
All right, let me know how you do.
Go spend time with the missus. I'll talk to you tomorrow sometime. Tim, you still out there?
Yes, sir, but I'll clear it clear as well. N-A-W-R-O. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Take care.
73 to all. KCK Joe clear all star. Yeah, that's it.